It's not another Buffalo podcast. With John.
All you people out there who are like, these idiots don't know anything. First of all, you're right. And second of all,
ha. Like, why? It's like, you ever watch Arrested Development where George Bluth Sr.'s crying? And he's like, why does Oscar have hair and I have money? Why can't I have money and have hair and Oscar have nothing?
And Rando.
If Eli Manning can beat an undefeated New England Patriots team, then I can do anything that I want in this world.
On Buffalo Rumblings.
Welcome back to Not Another Buffalo Podcast. I'm John. I'm here with my buddy Brando this evening. Pat's got the week off. This is a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. You can find us on all platforms or most platforms at Not Buff Podcast. And this episode is brought to you guys by Small City Realty. If you're looking to buy, sell, or manage property in Western New York, you got to call Zach Corzilius at Small City Realty. That's 585-409-1088. So there's a really cool property in Batavia. We told you guys about it last week. It is on West Main Street, Batavia, 229,000, four beds, two bath, 1,400 square feet. Real nice. It's a new renovation. Got all new appliances. Got a nice little backyard. We're talking about, you got to get your chipping game going.
That's my spot, right?
Right.
Enhance your golf game. Get a house.
Yeah. So if you want to check that out, we'll leave the Zillow link in the show notes. And then again, if you want to call the listing agent, that's Zach Corzilius at Small City Realty, which is 585-409-1088. So Brando, obviously this has been a pretty busy week with the owners meetings for an off season, right?
Yeah.
So it feels like more rule changes this year than recent years. Is that just recency bias or am I forgetting about something?
I feel like there's a lot always every year, but I mean, we saw the big one with the review of pass interference penalties a couple years ago, and that lasted a whole 10 months and got nixed the next year, but definitely some meaningful ones this year, I think. And it's interesting because the coaches are all there. The owners are all there and you wonder what their conversations are like, because you have to have 24 owners approve a rule change, which is 2/3, I believe, right?
And some of these have been unanimous, right?
Yes, but some of them haven't been. I want to say that Sale was talking about the kickoff rule and how it got delayed a day. And he was talking that it was like a bill trying to get through Congress. You had coaches lobbying, other coaches lobbying their owners to be like, this is why we should do it. This is why you shouldn't do it. Think about how it fits your team versus how it fits our team. Like, look at the Super Bowl. What is this? What is that? So they pushed it a day because they didn't have the 24 votes. And then the next, after the night of lobbying, they had gotten the votes that they needed to pass the kickoff ruling one day later.
The greatest sport of all, politics.
Yeah. So political stuff happening here in the NFL. But I do have the list here. Do you want me to go through them?
Yeah.
Okay. So approved rule changes that were put in by the teams or the competition committee. Now, one that Detroit put in got approved, and it's to protect a club's ability to challenge a third ruling following one successful challenge. So that's kind of a big deal. I think if you have the previous rule was you needed to get both of your challenges right to get a third challenge. And now you only have to go one of two to get a third challenge. It's interesting that they did that because maybe that is an answer to poor refereeing. Maybe they miss a play. Maybe something happens. What is a catch? Who knows? Really, they let a play out and something happens. So now you have a better chance to have three challenges. It's a funny little wrinkle. The NFL's like, shoot, we have bad refs. Let's throw this one for Coach Campbell here.
Now, I might be wrong about in assuming this, but like, is it really that hard to add extra coaches challenges? Because obviously the concern that comes up right away is, oh, well, you're slowing down the game. It's already slow because of commercials and stuff like that. But aren't these additional challenges just going to like replace a previously inserted TV timeout?
They'd probably add a TV timeout. It's not going to replace a TV timeout. Come on. They're paying $2 billion a game to get these games.
No, when I say replace a TV timeout, you're still going to commercial during it. You're still getting the ad dollars. You're still getting the same number of commercial breaks. I'm just saying, like, we have TV timeouts that are for nothing after a change of possession, after, you know, kickoff, you know,
the
that kind
3 minute
of thing.
Clock, dude, at the stadium. Anybody who goes to games regularly knows what I'm talking about, that after a touchdown or after a kickoff and after, it's not every change of possession, but it's some changes of possession. It's 3 minutes.
Right.
Starts ticking down. I'm like, and you don't have enough time to really go to the bathroom if you're at the stadium in 3 minutes. So it's like, what am I doing here? I'm standing in the cold. I'm like, let's go. I'll just watch the clock. Tick, tick, tick. So, but I think they're just going to add more. They're just going to add another commercial break. Just say, extend the TV slot half an hour, add two more commercials. add two more culture challenges. It's so subjective, right? It really is, whatever. But like,
you can keep going. I'll anyways, stop cutting you off now.
Competition committee allows for an enforcement of a major foul by the offense prior to a change of possession in a situation where there are fouls by both teams. Does that make sense to you?
So major fouls won't necessarily offset automatically. So if you have offside and, you know, personal unsportsmanlike, fouls. Yeah, they're not going to necessarily offset, right? Am I getting that correctly?
I think so.
Can you read it one more time? Sorry.
Yep. To allow for an enforcement of a major foul by the offense prior to a change of possession in a situation where there are fouls by both teams. So yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. You know, if there's a holding, but then there's a roughing the passer, I guess roughing the kicker maybe, or because if it's change of possession, right? So roughing the kicker, holding, personal foul, taunting, anything like that.
Yeah, well, at least we don't have Bill Belichick still around to take advantage of these weird nuanced rules. That one sounds very specific.
Okay, competition committee. This one would have affected Buffalo this year, I think. It is to include a ruling of a passer down by contact or out of bounds before throwing a pass as a reviewable play. So interesting. I was thinking of, the
fall away one.
He wasn't out of bounds. I was thinking more of the, but I guess it wouldn't be because it's not really a play because that's a penalty. But I was thinking of the horse collar in Philly. So, but I guess that wouldn't qualify.
Gotcha.
Next one, to allow a replay review when there is clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before the snap, which is funny because it's really, that's stupid because it's not play clock. It's game clock.
Right.
So you're never going to really use that. It's game clock for the quarter.
So it's so it's not delay game penalties.
Nope. Which is funny.
Okay.
Because it's like, what's the point here? So.
Right. Jeez, that's a little NHL-y inventing a little rule there.
Now the next one by the competition committee has a little bit of backlash here, I would think. So the competition committee amends the rule to eliminate a potentially dangerous tackling technique. It is now a foul if a player uses the following technique to bring a runner to the ground, grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and underweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knees. So that's the hip drop penalty. And for the penalty, it's a loss of 15 yards and an automatic first down. So I don't know about you, John. You know, us skinny guys, we got a hip drop when we're playing football sometimes. I mean, that's like, I'm getting his hips, I'm going down. Like that's, but the crazy stat, man, tackles on hip drop tackles are 20 times more likely to get injured. 20 times more likely. That was the referee and the owner's stat to change the rule or the statistic. Whoever makes these rules, that was their reasoning for that.
Yeah.
So,
well, for everybody out there who's worried that this is going to ruin football, like, just give it a year. We don't know what it's going to look like yet. I don't know what it's going to look like. If it makes the game safer, then great. You know, like, that's what we're all trying to do here, right? Isn't it? And if it has a negative effect on the game, they'll get rid of it after a year. Like, that's what pass interference review did. It's not like that's still around, even though it was bad.
John, that's interesting. So the next rule has a thing on here. It's an amendment that says for 1 year only. This rule does not have for 1 year only. So, you know,
anything can be reversed in the NFL rule book. It's not like a trial basis necessarily, but yeah. So anyway, I almost made my top 10 today. Top 10 things your dad or grandpa has to say about the new NFL hip drop rules and the new kickoff.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah, exactly. And we all hate change in some way, right? But I'm like, give it a year. We'll forget about it. You know, all this stuff has happened along the way and we're still all glued to the sport. So
that's a good point, right? Stop watching if we don't, you know, if we want changes, stop watching. That's not happening. But my favorite take on this rule was another way the Kansas City Chiefs can extend a drive in the playoffs. So, you know, it's just one of those things like the blindside block by Cody Ford. Is it a blindside block? Probably not. The crack block, whatever you want to call it. Anyways, we got one more rule.
Oh, my God. All right. So kickoff, right?
By competition committee for 1 year only amends Rule 6 to create a new form of a free kick play that is designed to resemble a typical scrimmage play by aligning players on both teams closer together and restricting movement to reduce space and speed and to promote more returns. Permits the replay officially automatically review whether a free kick legally touched the ground or a receiving team player in the landing zone. So I don't know what that means. I think there's like...
It means it's the XFL kickoff.
It's exactly the XFL kickoff. Yeah. I'm not very familiar with this, John. I don't know if you could break it down a little bit easy for me, like I'm a kid.
It's kind of hard to explain without you seeing it. I watched a couple XFL games the first year that they tried out this kickoff rule, and it was actually entertaining. Like, they had some pretty exciting plays. So basically you have, forget about the kicker and the returner. Those two people forget about. You have two lines of guys facing each other 5 yards apart. They all line up facing each other, and they're on like the return side of like the 30 and 35 yard line, maybe. Anyway, the kicker is way back where he normally kicks, and the returner is back where they normally return. Everybody in those two lines, those little gauntlets facing each other, stay still until the runner catches the ball. At that point, when the ball touches the ground or the returner gets the ball, the play starts. And then you have guys who are running and trying to block and create a lane, and then the runner is choosing where to go. But you're not getting guys running at each other at 20 miles an hour. So you're not going to have these huge collisions.
Yeah.
But that's the safety hope, is you're not going to get as many running start collisions, which leads to a lot of injuries in the kickoff. And the thing that people forget about this is they're trying to make the kickoff more exciting again because of the number of touchbacks that there are. This isn't just the safety thing. It's like half of kickoffs are touchbacks. They're useless plays. And you just got to see guys running down the field, right? So this, they're trying to make it safer and also have a consistent play where half of them aren't throwaways, right? Where there's actually something to the returner. You can have an exciting return guy. Like somebody like Devin Hester these days wouldn't be as exciting because half of his potential return kicks would be out of the back of the end zone. Yeah, so
that's a good point. And you see like Cordell Patterson, right? Or Deonte Hardy, all these guys.
Right.
You know, they have a place now.
Or at least their role will have more of an impact on the game.
Yeah.
So whether you think that's a good thing or not, that's up to you. I tend to think it is, but...
Well, we will see how it looks in the preseason. You know, preseason football always sucks, so we're going to get a lot of penalties. The games are going to last a long time, and then maybe they will ease up into the regular season as players get used to it. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah. When do we get 12-minute quarters for preseason? When's that coming up? Next CBA?
Does that happen?
No, that would be nice, right?
That would be nice. That would be nice, yeah.
Right?
10-minute quarters. 10-minute quarters.
Yeah. Why not make it 7?
Okay, well, let's just skip it. Add another regular season game. Why don't we?
So, right. We're heading in that direction, probably.
Definitely. It's 100% happening. And then they're going to add a week to the season, have the Monday before.
They're going to do the Super Bowl President's Day weekend so that everyone gets the Monday after the Super Bowl off.
Yep.
So. Yeah. And NASCAR will continue to move the Daytona 500 later and later until they're conflicting with the Stanley Cup playoffs, most likely. Anyway, what you got?
Last thing here. There's a couple of approved bylaws, but those are all about like roster numbers, trade deadline move to week 9, reserve list stuff, bona fide quarterback and eliminate times from its practice squad to active list, emergency third quarterback spot. But Buffalo, the Bills submitted one. It's an approved resolution by Buffalo to make the injury reporting rules for players who do not travel with their clubs to games away from their home city competitively fair.
So I don't know what that means in context of what we have now, because I don't know what the rules around reporting injuries of players who don't travel with the team are. Like, are they saying that it's not strict enough?
Competitively fair.
Competitively fairer. Yeah.
Sorry, let's add a subjective rule to the rule book in the NFL.
Well, obviously that's not all that there is to it. I'm sure it's a really long amendment, but that's like the summary of it, right? Well, we're going to have to hear more about that. I wonder what that's in reference to.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sal would have an answer on that, but.
Let's call him. Yeah. Yeah. Put him on the DraftKings hotline.
Yep.
Well,
but anyways. All right, what do you want to do? What do you want to do next? We got quotes. We got top 10.
Do top 10.
All right. Well, John's top 10 this week is brought to you by the J-Corps Agency for all your insurance needs and by Dance and Dog Treats. Dance and Dog Treats are nature's best for your best friend, and you can find them on danceanddogtn.com. Make sure you use code NABP at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's danceanddogtn.com. That's dancing with no G, dog, TN.com. Code NABP. All right. So with these new rules, we got new kickoff, banning of the hip drop tackle, trade deadline after week 9. So anyway, the big story here is the banning of the hip drop tackle to me, because I think that's going to be the most interesting to watch, even despite the kickoff thing. I think that'll be a good thing. But if there's anything that's possibly a bad thing, maybe the hip drop tackle will be part of it. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that had me thinking the top 10 things in the NFL that should be banned but aren't. So without further ado, John stepped in this week. The top 10 things that should be banned in the NFL but aren't. Number 10, Tyreek Hill.
Go away, Tyreek.
Yeah. Starting off hot there. Yeah, get the Dolphins and Chiefs fans in my mentions early, you know. Number 9, the Texans logo. Sorry, guys. Your team is exciting.
But I don't
your
think logo, it's that bad.
It's really bad. That. It's pretty rough. Number 8, taunting penalties. Can get rid of those tomorrow.
Or just be consistent with them. Just be consistent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, short of somebody teabagging somebody, I mean, you got to have a line somewhere, but like it's just the finger. I don't know. But again, the finger doesn't count if it's Tyreek Hill. So
the peace sign, dude, peace has sign. Made its way through all of my phys ed classes at some point or another. Whether yeah. it's in a game, you know, my first graders were playing Sharks and Minnows today, and the one first grader's running like maybe like 3 feet ahead of the other first graders trying to tag him, and he's just running behind him like this, like just giving him
with the peace sign.
He's not catching him. Like, come on,
yeah. I'm gonna cite number 10 again. Number 7, Gene Steratore commenting on a routine call. Can get that out of here. Number 6 of the top 10 things that should be banned in the NFL but aren't. Coach interviews during quarter breaks. Can shoot those into the moon. Mm-hmm. Number 5, the Pro Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
Number 4, bubble screens to Stephon Diggs. Sorry, man.
Occasionally. Give him one a game. Maybe one a game.
But, I mean, let his strengths be his strengths, man. That man is a downfield threat.
Yeah.
Number 3, Sean Hockley.
Yes.
Number 2, State Farm commercials with Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Of course. I like that you took that.
I don't need the Patrick Price. I swear to God. And the number 1 thing that should be banned in the NFL but isn't, PSLs. Hot topic of conversation here. Public with an article license. Coming out from, what was it, WGRZ? Want to give credit where credit's due.
There's a few. WKBW has one, Channel 7, Channel 4. They're on this. Because this is big news in Buffalo. You should be on it.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong in my assumption here. But so ticketing representatives are starting to reach out to season ticket holders about PSLs in the future. And from the sounds of it, it sounds like they're starting with the most expensive seats, like the clubs, and working their way down.
Yeah.
Because obviously the eye-grabbing number was that this individual who has club seats for 4 seats, or actually, I think it was more than that, but it was going to be like $400,000 for a PSL. And obviously, you know, Joe Schmo and Mrs. Schmo, who have season tickets down in the lower bowl, is probably not going to be that much, or the upper deck rather, is probably not going to be that much, but we don't know that number yet because they haven't released the information on that. So I don't know. Again, I should have started this episode with the disclaimer that it is Tuesday evening right now. That's why we're talking about rules changes. And if something big happens this week, I apologize. This episode comes out Friday. So maybe we'll have some more numbers with PSLs. But yeah, this is something that's new to Buffalo and everyone's afraid of being priced out. And that's a tough thing for a smaller stadium to deal with because there's less seats. Ticket prices for everything have gone up. And yeah, brand new stadium. Obviously, it's going to be more expensive, but you hope that, you know, the people who have been going to games since 1960 aren't going to get priced out of this because that would be sad.
I have a couple of things on these because they are interesting to me because you're buying your physical seat, but it's not, you don't get it. When they knock down the stadium, you're not going to get the 2 seats for free.
Right.
I have to pay for them, but whatever. When you go around the NFL and every other stadium has PSLs, it's normal, super common. It's cost of doing business. It's cost of having a stadium. It's cost of having a team. Now, the thing that they get you with is, you know, the Pagulas took, you know, $1.3 billion stadium and got like $800 million of it financed by taxpayers in New York State, right? They got about half of it. And then they got a loan from the NFL for some of it. And then they're chipping in some of it. And the way to keep the taxpayer number down, so like the New York State taxpayers, because everybody always says, I'm paying for that new stadium. I'm paying for that new stadium, right? Everybody, you know, people who like to complain or like to make right. their voice heard say that first always.
Giants so, fans.
Yeah.
So, no, sorry. I should have said Jets fans. I don't know why I said Jets Giants fans. Yeah. So that's Giants fans. Like, I like Eli Manning. I like Giants fans. Yeah.
It's better than Jets fans.
Yes.
So to recoup the cost, instead of Pegula getting $1.1 billion from New York State taxpayers, they add PSLs. So PSLs go towards the funding of the new stadium, and they pay for everything that the taxpayers didn't. It's a way to localize the cost to the people that are actually using the tickets. And then the next part about it is, and we talked about the stadium being smaller than the New Era Field and Ralph now by about, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 seats, is there's a huge portion, especially now that the Bills have gotten good, of season ticket holders that don't go to the games, that buy their tickets to resell them. And the secondhand market for Bills tickets have, there's just like, you know, I don't want to like poop on people for it, but there's a huge, I don't even want to call them scumbags, but they're pricing tickets that it cost them $75 for $900 for the pair. Like, it's like $200 face value that you pay per game for two tickets, you're selling for a 900 times markup. And I always message these people on Facebook when they're selling their tickets. They're like $450 each. I'm like, go do something to yourself. Cause like, that's ridiculous. And every time I get a response back, I'm not the only one that does this. I'm not, like, everybody does. I'm right. like, yes, everybody does it. That's why you're getting PSLs. Like, that's why you're getting PSLs. And that's why, you and know, the Sabres.
The person that hurts the most is the people who want to go to the games. Yes. Who want to
everybody
go to
every else.
Game.
All the blue collar people that, like, these news stadiums or these news reportings are covering to kind of generate this story. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of negative press on the Bills right now for the PSLs. But direct that at the, of the 60,000 season ticket holders that are actually there, probably 30,000 go to the game. And, right. you know, there's, and I'm not saying the other 30,000 are there to make a profit, but I'm saying that, you know, if Susie's got a stuffy nose and Joey will buy her ticket for triple the amount of money, like Susie's going to sell her ticket to Joey. And then maybe she goes to the next week, or they recoup their right. cost of the season ticket. So whatever, they do it for one or two games.
Right. But, so you might get more people trying to recoup their costs that way. And the other fear is that this is going to obviously exponentially jack up the price of any person trying to get a Bills ticket, because the rumor is, and I don't know how much truth there is to this, because they have enough. The season ticket base is huge. There's more season ticket holders right now than there are seats in the new stadium. Isn't that right?
Yes. It's like, you know, it's close, but.
So the fear is that, you know, again, if they price a bunch of people out, this might not be the case, but if every seat in the stadium is accounted for by a PSL, then there's going to be no general sale of tickets. It's going to be all secondhand market. So that's also going to, I mean, if you thought the secondhand market prices were bad now, like, imagine if there's no general sale to try to avoid that, if you're trying to buy tickets for a game ahead of time, you know?
Yeah. Well, the secondary market in Buffalo is so fickle because the weather is so touch and go. Because I remember a couple years ago, I went to this Houston game where it rained and we won like 35-0. But I paid $140 per ticket, row one, 300 level, great seats. But I bought them in August. And when October came around, my friends that I was with paid $11 for their seat just because it was so bad out and people just don't want to take a loss. So if you get a blizzard game, the snow games, they're always less expensive than you would think that they would be, because there are a ton of people that exist that can call themselves Bills fans that don't want to sit out in the snow. And that's not a shame on any of us. It's a human nature. Like, I, you know, people died watching the Miami and Kansas City game outside. You know, it's no joke. But PSLs are, you know, you get first rights to any event that's going to happen there. You own those forever. You could sell your PSL 5 years from now for more than what you paid for it.
Right.
It's a equity. You own that and it goes up in value or it goes down in value. Now, if the Bills lose, they trade Josh Allen and Sean McDermott gets fired and we go 7-9 four more times in a row.
Don't even say those things out loud.
But maybe you have bad luck on that. But I don't know. I think it's just like anything else in life, that it stinks that certain people can and cannot do them, but there are already so many people priced out of tickets to these games. Think about all that money that you've made reselling those tickets when you get charged to PSL. Think about, you know, if you're a season ticket holder for 30 years and you have sold 100 game tickets, making a profit of $300, you know, you made your money right there for your PSL. So I don't know.
But. Right. Yeah. It's definitely a nuanced conversation for sure.
Yeah. But. It does suck. You know, if I wanted season tickets, I think they range. I think in Atlanta, they were super cheap, but the suite tickets were like 15,000 to 50,000 also. But the individual seats in the hundreds, 200s, 300s, 400s were not, they were like low thousands maybe. Gotcha. You can pay it over 10 years, which is funny that they're charging. I think it's like 11% to finance your balance over 10 years. So if you have four club seats and you got to pay 200 grand, you have to pay another, what is 10% of 200 grand?
Well, if it's compounding interest, that's another question. Like, yeah. It's not just like, okay, get let's add Excel 11%. Formula. It's yeah. It's 11% on each on your remaining balance each year. Yeah.
So,
oof, not good. But
it's like anything else. You in a country club, you in a, you know, a yacht club, you in a whatever. So I don't know. Businesses are going to do it. They're going to write it off. But anyways,
well, we got quotes with Brando today, but we got to get a break in real quick. So stick with us. We'll be right back with some quotes with Brando.
It's time for quotes with
Brando.
They're things that people said.
You set your own thermostat. I don't have bad days, man. I may have a bad moment or even a bad hour, but never a bad day. Ain't nobody gonna get me hot but me.
You're gonna have to read that again because I didn't know you were going right into it. You got halfway through that quote before I realized it was a quote.
I'm coming up here just with self-talk.
Coming out strong.
Okay, this is a quote
swinging
that
out
was
of the break.
Said on a podcast with, I'll give you hints ahead of time, a podcast with a member of the College Football Society and an entertainer.
College Football Society. Okay.
I'm not going to tell you who was coach, player, front office,
mascot. I was going to say, is that supposed to be Nick Saban? Is that what that means?
No. Okay, I'll read it again for you. You set your own thermostat. I don't have bad days, man. I may have a bad moment or even a bad hour, but never a bad day. Ain't nobody going to get me hot but me.
So somebody in the college football sphere?
Yes, ranks, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not even sure what that means.
Decently new to college football.
Okay. Is this somebody who's going to get drafted this year?
Former NFL player.
Coaching in college football, maybe?
Yes.
Players who have gone to coach college recently. This is somebody I should know, right?
Yes, I have a... Let's see. This player is ranked second all time with 9 pick sixes. Ranking behind former NFL Network analyst Rod Woodson.
Okay. All right. It's Deion Sanders.
It's Deion.
I forgot. I totally forgot about this whole Colorado thing that happened this last year.
Yeah.
Again, I think by the end of the college football season, we had all forgotten about what had happened to Colorado because they fell off such a cliff. Right?
They fell off bad. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right. Good job.
Couple of weeks at Deion clips there.
Yeah. He was on a podcast with Lil Wayne. So. I
gotcha. Okay. All right. That's good.
All right. Next one. Quote, it's changing offensively. They're seeing too high safety looks, you know, but I'm not really going to say everything just from a strategy standpoint, but the game, it's like wearing corduroys every couple of years. It's like, are corduroys in or are they not? And so you always want to be wearing corduroys when they are in and not when they aren't. Well, actually you should be wearing them when they're not in, right, really, to be able to get ahead of the curve. End quote.
I don't know what this would have been from, but it kind of sounds like Brandon Bean a little bit.
It's not Brandon Bean.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. NFL coach or GM?
Correct. This is from the owners' coaches meeting the last couple of days. Talking on philosophy of the game.
All right. Read it one more time and I'll see if I can pick up on any hints from the way that you say things.
It's changing offensively. It's changing offensively. They're seeing two high safety looks. You know, I'm not really going to say everything just from a strategic standpoint, but the game, it's like wearing corduroys every couple of years. It's like, are corduroys in or are they not? And so you always want to be wearing corduroys when they are in and not when they are out. Well, actually, you should be wearing them when they're not in, right? Really, to be able to get ahead of the curve, end quote.
This person is getting like introspective mid-quote. Like,
it's funny.
Should I be wearing corduroys right now?
Well, are you going to be trendy or are you going to be ahead of the trend?
I don't know.
This person is in charge of understanding how to create plays and stop plays. And, you know,
I mean, the people who come to mind are like Dan Campbell, Mike McDaniel. Oh, I could see Andy Reid saying something like this.
You know, you're on the right track of head coaches.
Okay.
It is an NFL head coach talking about the trends of the NFL, and they didn't want to give out their own strategy on how they were going to compete and change.
I can't see Sean McDermott saying this. I don't think he'd be that up with the metaphors.
You can't see
really?
Him saying this?
Sean McDermott at the press conference today.
Yep. At his press conference. God. Sale asked him a question talking about, how do you adapt with two high safeties? How do you change your personnel? Like, it was a great question and it was a great answer, I thought. Like, I thought it was a great answer. So
Sean McDermott, if we see him wearing corduroys this year, we'll know why.
Yep. Get a corduroy like jacket.
Oh my God. We're gonna get Bills jerseys made out of corduroy. That's the next big
thing.
Be
a lot warmer at these games.
We should be selling corduroy t-shirts right now.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, I got one more for you, and I'm going to play you a clip, but I'm going to read you the quote. And if you know, that's fine. Just like give me a thumbs up, and then I'll play the audio. Okay.
Okay.
So this was in an interview at the coaches' meetings as well. I'm going to read the interview question and then the answer from the person. Okay. So quote question. Was it difficult with Russ knowing the dead cap penalties were so severe to make the decision to let him go? ... Answer. No.
Dang. Okay. So that's got to be Sean Payton, right?
Sean Payton railing on his quarterback, former quarterback, just hating Russell Wilson with all of his being, just saying, was it difficult with Russ knowing that you will accept the largest dead cap hit in history of the NFL if you let him go? Was it difficult to make that decision? No. Jeez. He takes a sip of his coffee during the question and he's like, not hard at all.
Oh my God. That's funny. Well, Sean Payton does like assigning blame. He definitely doesn't pull punches when it comes to that. I mean, we've had other clips of him throughout the years. What was the thing that he said talking about Miami and stuff like that?
He's like, I don't want Tua. Okay, but here's my question to you is Pete Carroll a goober and Sean Payton a goober, or is Russell Wilson a goober? Because like we've heard about Russell Wilson being this weird guy from multiple sources now. You know, he got too comfortable in Seattle and then he comes into Denver, he has his own office, players meetings in his office. And, you know, then he gets the boot from Sean Payton. So I don't know.
I still think it's Russ and the sources being like the video that we've seen with our own eyes of Russ.
Let's ride. Like,
I don't think you need an inside source to know that something's a little weird there. Broncos country. Let's ride. See, it wasn't even that one. Like that one was painful because you knew that like if any of us were in that situation, I would have hated that too. Standing in front of a green screen, doing all these, shooting all this stuff that you don't want to be there for. It's the Mr. Unlimited, Mr. Unlimited TikToks and stuff like that. I'm like, what is going on? And I mean, that's the kind of stuff that does well on social media because you're like, what is this? But you're also like, I can't look away. Like,
eyes are checking it out.
Yeah. Right.
Anyways, that's all I got.
Yeah, those are good. Thanks for filling in for Pat.
Dude, I was leaving my school today at lunch and I heard the corduroys quote and I looked at the clock and I'm like, oh, it's 11:29. I got to go find this later because I'm going to use this on the show tonight. So I had to find it and I'm writing it out as he's saying it. And I'm like, it's so hard to write the quote while people are saying it. I had to like pause, start.
Right.
But it was a long quote about corduroys. So. Oh, y'all, breaking news real quick.
Uh-oh. All right.
Former Buffalo Bills All-Pro cornerback Tre'Davious White intends to sign a one-year, $8.5 million deal with the Los Angeles Rams.
Wow.
Oh, that's sad.
That's going to be really sad seeing him in another uniform. But I have so many questions, too. Like, that's my reaction, too. Is like, is he going to be ready to go by at the beginning of the season? Like,
$10 million. That's what we're paying him not to play.
$10 million is his dead cap?
Yep.
What would his cap hit have been if he was playing?
18, I think.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. I hope he succeeds. At least he's in the NFC. Gets to go to LA.
Yeah.
Warm. But sorry to interrupt your ending there.
No, you're good. You're good. Then. Yeah, that's sad. I hope he has a really good season and then decides to come back to Buffalo. And somehow we magically pull $18 million in cap out of our butts.
I don't think he'd ever be worth that again, though. You know, 10 years or 10 million right now for 1 year, you know, maybe 12 year, three year contract.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's probably more like it. But man, I just wish him the best. Mm-hmm. That he's one of the more painful exits, you know, out of the last however many years. And
tragedy.
It's not because, you know, nothing against Jordan Poyer or Mitch Morse or anything like that, because we're going to miss those guys equally as much. It's just the way that Trey White's career has, you know, been. It was injuries, man. It wasn't age. It was a combination of injuries and cap, right? Because the injuries, you weren't going to be able to pay a player that wasn't able to stay healthy, but you feel for the guy.
Yeah.
I definitely wish him the best, genuinely.
Me too. But,
anyway, Trey White Goalie Academy. What fun years we have. This is where you insert the Andy Dwyer, not Andy Dwyer, who went Andy Bernard. Wrong sitcom, Andy. Andy Bernard. I wish you had someone to tell you you were in the good old days before the good old days were over.
Yeah.
So that's a fitting quote for that. But anyway, we got a draft to look forward to. We got
one month
to talk about. And yeah. So stick with us. We'll be back next week. So until then, go Bills.